So hopefully some of you parents are going to be able to get some insights into your children's development, as well as in some insight into your own development, which is the thrust of tonight's discussion. So let's talk a little bit here about developmental psychology. What is that? Developmental psychology. Well, it's basically how we develop. And it's mostly from the perspective of adult development, but only thinking about in terms of our basic foundation. We're going to start a little bit there today. And we're going to approach it from a biopsychosocial spiritual model. Some of you are familiar, I'm curious, who's familiar with Abraham Maslow's work? Okay, good. Some people have heard it, even in the workplace, they talk about the hierarchy of needs, right? And so basically that's some of the things he's been known for, but not only. And again, a lot of people don't know about some of his other stages, which we're going to get into tonight. But one of the things he talked about that's very appropriate for this venue, and that is what's called the little death. What might be the little death? The big death is when we all kind of let this thing go, right? Okay, so the little death would be what? Anybody got a guess? Thank you. Yes, the ego, the little death. And some people in Buddhist practice would call die before you die, which means if you can let that thing go, a lot of things happen. We'll talk a little more about that towards the end of the talk. And another resource that's very friendly to theosophical thinking is Roberto Saggioli's work, Psychosynthesis. And that's another thing I discovered very nicely due to my friends in the library, is that really, Roberto Saggioli was known to study with very strong, deep spiritual teachers during his life. Actually, he was inspired very deeply by Alice Bailey. Some of you know Alice Bailey's work? He was the only true psychotherapist that really specialized in that kind of esoteric kind of teachings. He also was known to work through some of the stages that Maslow had talked about, which is we're going to kind of look a little bit more into depth now. And that is, some of the pieces that we want to emphasize is first, survival safety. You know, when you think about as you're developing, how important is it to have a sense of safety for children? What happens if they don't have it? Have you ever known anybody that hasn't had any much safety in their life? Maybe were homeless, or maybe they were abandoned, they were orphans or whatever, lost one of their two parents. So again, this is one of the roots, the very strong foundations of Maslow's theory, is that that first thing, if you don't establish any sense of that fulfillment, it's always kind of a gap for people. It's always kind of a gap. Next thing is belonging needs. Again, a sense of connection, belonging, affiliations. Another, again, if a person doesn't have any roots in that and has a very shallow sense of belonging, again, they feel very disjointed. And we're going to go through the age stages and follow these themes. I want you to think of these as themes towards the 12 stages. We're going to go from 0 to 7, or actually from 1 day to 7. It's kind of hard to go from 0, but all the way up to 84 tonight. We're going to kind of quickly go through those stages and see if anything jump out to you as we're going through it. So I want you to follow these themes as we go through it, moving to the next one of self-esteem. Now, what does it mean to have self-esteem? Anybody got any ideas about what that means? We throw that around a lot. This person's got low self-esteem. What does that mean? Anybody want to jump in there a little bit? Worthy, thank you. I like that word better even than self-esteem. A sense of worthiness, right? And then when it's a lot of things in life, you feel like they should come to you. There's kind of a diverted deservedness or a sense of worthiness that a person kind of can feel like they can be open to things. As opposed to if a person doesn't really feel they have that worthiness, there tends to be one of these blocks. I was curious, did anybody watch the program the other night, Deepak Chopra's program, The Future of God? Anybody by any chance see that? It was on Channel 11. You saw that? And he was talking a little bit about the whole idea is that the reality, what he calls God, obviously there's a lot of names for God, but just think of his divine presence or the original nature is always with us. But what happens is we have all these veils. We have all these filters and veils that get in front of us that prevent us from seeing our true nature. So after self-esteem, and this is what something that Maslow came up with in the last few months of his life, he added two more stages to his theory of hierarchy of needs, which a lot of people don't know about. And these are the next two that he talks about: cognitive needs. Cognitive needs. Needs for what? Understanding and understanding our perceptions, as well as aesthetic needs, needs for beauty, needs for appreciation, okay? And that would be the last two stages before formally we go into what's called self-actualization. And then the last stage that many people don't know about is Maslow talked about self-transcendence. Now, what might that be? Self-transcendence. Anybody want to jump in there? What might that be? Going beyond yourself, exactly. Which a lot of, if you really look at the spiritual process, most of us are kind of, to one day or another, we've had enough of having an ego and a sense of personal self, a limited self. The whole idea of self-transcendence is kind of like an offering, an opportunity to move along. So in some of my studies for the many years, I was really grateful to be able to study with Dane Rudyard, actually in this very room, in the late 70s. And he was quite a Renaissance man. Some of you know Dane Rudyard's work? Great. He was quite a genius. He was a painter, he was a pianist, he was an insightful philosopher, and of course, an astrologer, a very gifted, insightful astrologer. So much of the things we're going to explore in this talk will be due to some of Dane Rudyard's work and to one of his, quote, disciples, Alexander Rupertzky, who was a disciple of Dane Rudyard, who articulated all these cycles of becoming that we're going to jump to in a minute. And so they cover the whole idea of age transitions, conditioning, rites of passage. Think of each one of these stages of these rites of passages. And they're kind of like repeating psychological, astrological stimulations in the sense that it's a reoccurring phenomena. Some people would call that reoccurring phenomena samsara. What is samsara? It's this cycle, right? Once we're on the cycle, sometimes we feel like we can't get out of that cycle. So really, these cycles are part of the samsaric chain. And again, in this evening's talk, we really can't do deep justice to this because this is pretty much a generic overview of the different polarity shifts that go on from these 12 stages, these 12 7-year stages. But we're going to try to highlight a few that are relevant to people here and then invite you to do the deeper exploration on the weekend and the benefits of living courageously. So the first group would be what I call the foundational reenactments. How the personal story. Now, what do I mean by a personal story? Anybody ever notice when you go to workshops or you go places or you meet somebody new or whatever, or with your friends, do we get into our personal story a lot? So at some point, we kind of want to explore, how does this personal story get formed? Is it kind of somebody just comes up and sticks it on your back or gives you a little script and all of a sudden you start talking this way? No, it's a developmental process, isn't it? Through different life events, through these stages, you're going to see, and I would encourage you to be courageous enough to kind of follow through for yourself personally a little bit. And I'm not going to jump into your stuff. I'm not going to say, okay, you need to look at this. No, it's all here to get you to take a look, invite you to kind of look in there and see, oh yeah, when I look at this first stage, like we were speaking about before, oh, I didn't really have a good, solid, secure, safe upbringing. So from that first stage, take a look at there. So you can see some of the challenges in that group. The holding environment is the first one. There's a man named A.H. Alamos talks about something called diamond heart work. A major part of thrust of his work is get in touch with what he calls holes, the theory of holes, that people carry a hole in their soul. And actually in the addictions field, that's a very common reference point for people that are addicted. They're trying to fill this hole in their soul. And so a lot of trust issues that turn into shame and guilt and worthiness issues are some of the themes that are in here. Unfortunately, there's not a lot of astrological aspects other than your individual chart that seems to be founding this first series. The real first big kickoff in what we call the slow-moving planets. Slow-moving planets mean Saturn, Jupiter, Uranus, Neptune, Pluto. Those are the ones that are strongest influences that we're going to spend some time talking about today. But the first one is this Saturn square Saturn that happens around 7. Now think about it. If you've had children, think about that age, 7. Now 7 is actually the age of accountability, isn't it? That's spoken of as the age of accountability. Where supposedly kids are supposed to know moral and moral development. Somebody was called Kohlberg, studied moral development. That was the kickoff point for his studies on moral development, is this around 7 years old, it's the age of accountability, where kids generally do know what's right or wrong. As well as there's a sense of kind of an inner tension. There's kind of a tension to kind of move out, to move out. Move out from some of their conditioning, maybe away from their conditioning, depending on their individual chart, their depth of their individual chart, as well as the big one that I remember personally was the return of Jupiter. Jupiter takes about 12 years to go around the zodiac. Some of you know that, right? Just before, a little bit less than 12 years. It's real, some of these returns are not exact. It depends on the year. They vary a little bit and vacillate. But I remember around 12, that sense of what I call empowerment. I was the first, around that first year, that I was felt risky enough to go out and ride my bicycle towards the sunset, away from the house. Now, if you get that image, here's this kid with the, you know, the little streamers, riding like crazy, away from the house, right? Now, of course, I had to keep in mind, oh, Dad and Mom are not going to be too keen about this, right? So I got pulled up thinking, oh, yeah, I had to get all the way out to Western Avenue before it got dark and back. Otherwise, I might get a little bit warmed up in the buttock. So at some point, but I remember that first sense of liberation, liberating kind of empowered sense, testing myself a little bit, and starting to develop a sense of freedom and autonomy. So Ericksonian, also another developmental theorist, talks a lot about this, what he calls the role confusion issues come up around 12. Is this making any sense to people here? Kind of get a little bit of that's kind of this age stage? And maybe some of you can kind of have that same little memory of your story of how at around 12 you felt that kind of strong sense of empowerment with yourself. Okay. Next group would be a very, very volatile, and I wasn't kidding about some of you that have parents. Anybody who have teenagers by any chance? One, two, just two of you? Really? How many of you have had teenagers before? A little different. Okay. So what's it like having teenagers from 14, that developmental stage, all the way to 21? What's that really like? Come on, we can get honest here. They're not here. What's it like? Never a dull moment. That's it. But if you can look at some of these stage-related, this is very, very powerful period, isn't it? If you look at the triggers, you got the moon opposition its natal place, which means they're really focused on their peers, aren't they? It's like, as parents, we don't really exist, do we, with those kids at that age? It's just kind of like, but my friends are doing it. I mean, it's always a reference point to their peer group. It's like we don't exist. It doesn't matter that we're feeding them and we provide them a bed and all kinds of toys and stuff. No, it's their friends. See, in that stage, that's where they start to get that. And there's kind of a sense of what's called, as Dame Rudyard says, is that idealized figures issues come up around that time. With the Saturn opposition Saturn, becomes a very big issue around responsibilities. Who remembers those conflicts around responsibilities, taking care of your room and things like that, doing your chores? So you can see. Now, how this can be very significant, here's where we start to see one of the very important periodicities that returns. This particular aspect, this Saturn, opposition Saturn, around 14 in that 14.8, give or take a few months here and there, reoccurs again throughout our life. So think about, if you're 60 years old, how many of those returns have you had? Okay, now symbolically, here's the key word, like we use in hypnosis, associatively. Those periods will remind you by association of some of the things that happened at that time in your life. You might not say, oh, I remember when I was 14.8 years old. No, you're going to say, I kind of remember. And remember, the whole idea of astrology, it's energetics, folks. It's a sense of energy, isn't it? See, that's really the best way to look at astrology, is there's a kind of an energetic feeling. You put words on it, you know, I mean, you might say this aspect and that, but really there's an energetics. When I say a 14 to 15 year old teenager is going to come in the room, you get a sense by your own experience based on raising your kids or yourself personally. I remember I was really a handful at 14 to 15. And, you know, they could have tied me down. So at some point, that's one of the things that keeps reoccurring. And the whole theory from Rudyard's work and Ruperti's work is to help you understand that symbolically we carry this reoccurring reenactment energetically, karmically. Now, think about that as a reoccurring. Now, when we live life, sometimes a lot of us talk about, well, this is my lesson. Here's your lessons, okay? These are the themes of our story, but are also the themes of the lessons of learning in the context of dharmic learning. See, the dharma is something different than your karma, isn't it? Your dharma is how you work out your karma consciously with purpose and meaning. Thereby, the name of my workshop is finding wisdom and meaning in life passages. It's start to realize that life's trying to tell me something here, see? It's trying to tell me something. Maybe I need to learn something from this lesson, even though it's a taskmaster, right? Especially Saturn. Saturn is the planet of the taskmasters. Always feeling like we're scuffing our toes or getting restricted or we're respected to be responsible. But that's one of the elements of the Saturnian influence. It's a great teacher. And some esoteric astrologers say you really can't move to the more esoteric transpersonal planets until you've done your work through your own self-discipline. Because if you look at this path, the sadhana, that's a Sanskrit term meaning what? Discipline. Your path of sadhana is how you work through your discipline, your practices. And so that's a really important, but most of us kind of don't like that energy, that Saturn energy. You know, we don't like to wake up on a Saturday morning hit with a lot of responsibilities, do we? We kind of like, well, it's my free time. Okay? But the person that grabs a hold of our and does self-discipline can be have a sense of liberation in the later years if you do your work. That's what we call in women's work or men's work, right? Or therapy work, it's work. It's not play. Play comes later. So this is one of those aspects. So now the next one piece that comes in here is this nodal return at around 18.6 years. Now these are the lunar nodes, the north node and the south node. They move through the zodiac and they approximately every 19 years, they have a whole shifting point that goes on. And so during that time, there's a lot of adaptations. There's a kind of a tension in life. Well, think about your average person you know that's around 19. Think about yourself or one of your kids, one of your relatives. Remember what was going on a lot of time around 19? Anybody give me a little quick take on that?
College.
College? And they're also not sure where they want to go to college, do they? See, this is a real important area of what we call the rite of passage around vocational choices. I used to be a vocational facilitator with disturbed adolescents for 12 years. And extremely disturbed adolescents. They were severe ED and BD kids. And they had less options because a lot of them came from broken homes. But if you look at the average 19, 20-year-old individual, they're struggling, aren't they? They're not sure. There's a lot of confusion at that age. They have a lot of aspirations, and then they try things, and then they're like, ooh, I'm not sure about this. So it's a lot of trial and error things during that time. Concurrently, what happens at that same time, there's two other aspects that happen at that time that also give a person a sense of review, and that's the Saturn square Saturn comes around 21 again, say. So now you get another, I've got to get disciplined, I got to work at this, but then there's a part of them that are unsure. Then our friend Uranus hits the scene. The first square to Uranus comes up around 21. Now think about that. Uranus is the planet of liberation, really. But it's also the planet of rebellion. Okay. So think about, if you think a lot of people when they're testing that pre-adult, right? They're kind of wanna getting out there wild oats, aren't they? They're not quite sure they're ready in to join the adult world of all the responsibilities. They wanna get their last licks in and trying to play a little more and try to be rebellious. So this is one of the keys that happens with Uranus square in around 21. And again, it varies time-wise, and that's why it has to be individualized. And it breaks restrictions. That's a big part of it. They kind of want to break out. It's kind of a breakout year. Everybody get that? Any questions about that one? Okay. So the next one is the 21 to 28th cycle. This is where a lot of basic values and fruits of personal social gains come in. It's the Jupiter return starts a manifest around 24. Anybody remember around 24? A lot of people are very full of themselves around 24. This is the second, again, second empowerment cycle. This is the second time Jupiter comes around, and you've gotten through all that other wild stuff, and you've shaken out a lot. So a lot of people, and some theorists, developmental theorists, call this as a very, very early settling down period for people. Settling down. Well, they start to think maybe it's time to get a little serious. You know, maybe not go to the bars anymore, maybe not partying so much, starting to think about what are they going to do with themselves. And that's strong around Jupiter return, that social cultural choice for associates too. They're realizing, a lot of times they realize, maybe I don't want to hang around with those wild people anymore. Maybe I need to kind of get serious. You start looking where your friends are going. You know, you start realizing maybe they're not going where I want to go. So there's a lot of shakeout with social relationships at that time. Then comes along the lunar return, the first lunar return. Now, why would that be important? Very big part of us is our lunar nature, which is the nature of emotions and feelings, right? It's the manifestation of the feminine. So a lot of people really start to realize more what they feel about life. Feelings start to become more a person, especially with women. Women become, in a lot of ways, much more self-actualized than the men at this age. If you look at women, they much more serious. They start realizing, you know, I got to make better choices of the people I choose as partners. They're much more likely to be in touch with themselves at that age, at the lunar return. So that's a real critical phase. Next comes the another Uranus aspect here, which is around the 28th cycle. That's a trine to Uranus. So now, if they've done some work of questioning and inventory, and this is where people vary a lot. When you start to look at people, you start to get a sense how they've developed. You start looking at certain practices, you know? If they started, say, reflecting, journaling, right? Going to workshops on self-growth. The people that start making those choices at this stage, you really start to see by the time they get in their 40s, they really have a feeling of much more self-actualization than the individuals that were kind of wild. And the only way you can tell that is you really have to do the individual chart. Like I said, this is a generic curve we're doing now. But there is a way to go at this individually. I do this with many of my clients. I take their charts and we go through certain periodic times as well as now what's going on and kind of reflect on and use this as like a mandala for them to search where are these reoccurring patterns right now for them, okay? So the next one, like I said, the rebellion against family and society, where they still kind of wanted to question, what's it like to be my own person at around 28, okay? They wonder, do I really want to be influenced by my parents? They start questioning society's values, their values. That's a very big point at this stage. Leading on to the next stage, which is called formal settling down. Developmentally, this is what's called formal settling down period, is the 28 to 35. There's a release of creativity that starts to manifest. Again, especially from the individuals that you've seen disciplining themselves and self-discipline. Then you're going to start seeing people that really start to show a flowering at this age from 28 to 35. You'll start seeing the second Saturn return comes right around 20. The full Saturn return starts to manifest. You'll see a kind of what's called crystallization. See, Saturn a lot of times it looks restrictive, but if you look at when you concentrate, what are you doing when you concentrate? Isn't that a Saturn process? See? It's a focusing, and it's also a crystallization that comes up. So during this time at around 30, just before 30 in that range, is a lot of people, they sense a kind of almost a rebirth because they kind of feel solid, okay, in who they are. Again, it depends on a lot of other prior stages and their astrological aspects and how they develop, but it also shows the people that show discipline, this is where you start to see them really starting to make some inroads into making their mark, okay, is during that period. There's also a repeat of sometimes returns of the Jupiter starts to come early, starts can start around 35, but for most people it moves to the next stage, okay, the 35 to 42. Where you see here is a culmination of physical, personal attitudes and beliefs start to happen. Big time with the third return of Jupiter, people really have a sense of, they kind of know what they want to do. There was a book written by a man named Maurice, I think, Buck, called Cosmic Consciousness. Some of you know that word? I see some nodding. I don't know if it's in print anymore, but it was a great book because he showed the history of a lot of self-illumined beings throughout history and how the peak experience for many of them was around 36 to 40, was a time of self-realization for them. He also implied that Jesus had his highest evolution in illumination at that time. Buddha did. So at some time, there's something to this culmination, and that's the whole idea of Jupiter. Jupiter is kind of an expansive planet. It's the planet of deep sense of expansionism. And that happens during that time. Also, there's sometimes people can get caught up in the second Saturn square cycle in around 37, in that range, where they start finding excuses. If they haven't done their work, and again, this is how you see it in their natal chart and how they developed. If they haven't really applied themselves to self-responsibility or self-discipline, this is where sometimes they feel like they've missed it. They've missed their mark. Sometimes you'll see people going back to school. In fact, I used to teach at a community college for many years, and that was one of the things we saw. A lot of people in their 36 to 42 range were going for their second shot now. They realize they kind of missed their, you know, they kind of wobbled around and bounced around. And there's a lot of people that return to community colleges in that age range for that reason, because sometimes they haven't really applied themselves early on, and now they're going for that next shot. And again, the 38 cycle of the nodal return, that's the piece that starts to show itself up. This is what's called the true self could dawn at this time. There's kind of a sense a person can get in touch with their true nature. There's a kind of early wake up going on at this time between 35 and 42. And it's actually coincides what we traditionally say happens in the next one, the shift point. Now, some of you have been through this period. I can look a little bit of you have had that experience. Okay, like me, I'm 66. So one of the keys is this period is really a big one. This is a major turning point, which is classically known as the Uranus square Uranus around 42. So again, people reaching for new meaning. There's a Jupiter square, and then there's the Neptune square its point. So you got another big experience about disillusionment. Ooh, now what does that mean? One of my mentors, Gangaji, talks about divine disillusionment. How can disillusionment be a helpful lesson to us on the spiritual path? Anybody got a hint on that one? How can that be helpful? It's painful for most of us, right? It's kind of painful. We kind of don't like disillusionment, especially if we're caught up in infatuation. We're not really keen about that. So the whole idea of Neptune showing itself, we get a first whack of disillusionment. You start to shake out some of the illusions. Okay. You also start to look in attitudes with your intimates. And you start questioning, are these people really working for me? And you have doubts about that. That's one of the major things about that opposition to its natal place at 44 with Saturn. There's a kind of an isolation in the classic term midlife crisis. Now, is that a fun time? Who can remember? Anybody? Anybody remember midlife crisis? Yeah. It's not a party, is it? It's a certain kind of party, but it's kind of an owl party for a long time. It's kind of like a lot of confusion. I'm not sure. Where do I go with this? What do I do with this? A lot of anxiety, a lot of uncertainty, which is the nature of life, but it's usually not too palatable. And so when we kind of take this one, it's a big one. A lot of times what we don't realize under the divine disillusionment is the loose of the grip of the ego. When we kind of realize we're not running the show, we can't really control this thing, right? That's a great gift, isn't it, to get that? I think it's a great gift, but it's not an easy gift. So this is what happens during this time. There's a lot of anxiety during the 42 to 49. But what can happen now at around 48, you get your fourth return to Jupiter. So after all this kind of shaking out, and I remember what happened at my point in my life at 48, it was a tremendous crystallization. A lot of things, I got really empowered. I felt really discovered. I was doing a lot of consulting work, and a lot of things were just coming to me. I wasn't even doing anything. It was like people would say, oh, you want to come talk here? You want to come talk here? Yeah, sure, I'll come talk there. So there's a big piece of that that happens, kind of a new illumination for deep change. And some people would identify this cycle in their life as kind of potentially the dark night of the soul. Now, some of you know that religiously, right? St. John of the Cross talked a lot about dark night of the soul. But it's also a developmental passage, folks. It's not a bad thing. It's painful, scary, but very liberating if you can take the right attitude towards it. It's really a period of dharmic wake-up call, is this period in that range from 42 to 49. Very, very powerful period. Moving along from 49 to 56, we have a lot of social responsibilities seem to come us. A lot of people start thinking about retirement at this time. Some people are still kind of attached to the society's values and to their parents' values. They're still wondering, have I gotten the respect from my parents that I was hoping to get? Those kind of things manifest in that range. With the square of Saturn manifest around 51. Questioning old things to change, share experience with others. A lot of people start thinking their community and that elder group. Well, I don't really want to call myself an elder. I don't want to call myself a senior. You know, I kind of think, well, I'm middle-aged. Are we really middle-aged from 49 to 56? Who really believes we're kind of middle-aged at that time? Couple people, we still got some people in denial. We got some denial people. That's okay. Yeah, I remember that too. Yeah, I used to, I could dance with all the 30-year-olds. I get out there, and then it was like after 2 hours, oh man, my lumbago and my back is killing me. I could get it, but I would get the after effects later. So I think this is one of those critical things for a lot of us in this room. You know, I can, by gazing out there, my son calls the gray hairs. And I still think I have brown hair. You know, to answer those little things on the, you know, when you get some kind of application, what color is your hair? I kind of, no, you don't have brown hair anymore. I give gray hair. So again, these are the signs of how really in touch we really are with our real being in the moment. Are we really present? So in there is kind of this nodal pattern starts to show up again when adopting attitudes. But this is really truly the beginning of what's called the harvesting period. Now think about that word. It's a beautiful world, isn't it? Think about that word. Have you ever been out in the fields when it's harvest time? It's such a wonderful time. It feels like life is taking care of us, doesn't it? When you're in the harvest time. Well, really it is. I feel like aging is a beautiful feel. If you get the right attitude, it's wonderful, because this is really the time, if you've been working your spiritual process, this is the time when you start getting a lot of harvesting, and you don't have to go out of your way. You just have to wake up. Kind of, yeah, there's a lot going on here. You really start to realize life can feel much better. A lot of the people will tell you that. It's like you don't have that restlessness as much, do you? There's like a, this kind of, a lot of things start settling down here, okay? And Uranus, trine Uranus at around 56 really helps us in that transition. You start to feel like a sense of liberation from a lot of responsibilities. Now, again, this has a lot to do with some of your other karmic patterns, you know? If you've been doing your work and disciplining yourself and being consistent in work and saving and a lot of other Saturnian activities, it's going to work good for you. If you've been kind of thinking, oh, later, procrastinating, and think this is where it can be a very difficult pattern. I get a lot of people coming into therapy and counseling at this time because they're very disillusioned, but not in the divine disillusionment, more like in the personal disillusionment. They're questioning, what are they going to do for the next 20 years? How are they going to survive for the next 20 years? So that's, this stage starts to move to this next stage where you can start to realize like an inner sense of power. And this happens with the second return of Saturn around 5960. This is where there's a really a crystallization experience, where you start to, after the beginning of the early harvesting, you really start to get a sense, you kind of know how things work, you know? Some of you had that experience? I know there's a few out there. You know, that's why you don't have to hold your hands up. I know you've been past that, in that stage. You're in that stage. And so there's a lot of, if you really look at it, there's a spiritual quality of being that starts to manifest during that time. And I think that's a key factor for us, is to kind of start looking at some of the deeper cycles. I'm trying to get people to really crystallize their harvest time and to re-engage with what's called legacy work. Legacy work. Realizing your legacy, that you have something to leave, but you have to do the work, which is called life review, right? But it takes a lot of courage to do life review. This is not, as my dad used to say, aging's not for wimps. You know, you look back at your life, you're going to have a certain kind of maturity and calmness, and you can't be very judgmental. You have to kind of be open, because there's going to be things you don't want to see in life review. But there's a lot of great golden nuggets. Okay, this can be a time of finding and harvesting your gold. And of course, it's also potentially you can be caught up in what's called a trance. We get this Pluto aspect around 61. Now, that's a tricky one. Pluto's a very slow-moving planet. Some of people have been going through this for the last few years. Some of us with the Pluto and Leo have been getting whacked by that Pluto and Capricorn, huh? It's been happening for the last couple of years for a lot of people, and it's not an easy time, but it potentially is a time to, again, let go of the grip of the ego, to truly start to feel a sense of resurrection. And that's potentially what's here, but it's not going to be easy time during this time. So we have that. Now we move on to the 63 to 70s. Let's see, am I the only one in this stage? I don't think so. I know a couple of my friends are here, and they're in that cycle. I know 1, 2, 3, 4, at least 5 of us. In. Okay, whoa, wow. A lot of people I wouldn't have expected. Really? So again, this is a moving into that stage here. Sense of futility sometimes, the body's breaking down. Again, not a picnic, you know, not easy. A lot of acceptance required of us at this age, right? More and more acceptance as we age, we have to learn more and more acceptance. The principle, right, of serenity is the key principle of serenity is acceptance, isn't it? To accept life and the gifts, more gratitude, start looking deeper into that. Mental freedom can exist. But again, we have lots of capacity challenges, don't we? Like memory capacity, what we call today senior moments. Or sometimers. We got Alzheimer's, then we have sometimers, right? Now these are not easy things to deal with, are they? Because sometimes you're not sure, did I forget to meet my friend at 8 o'clock on Saturday night? Or did they forget? Who really forgot? So it's not easy when you forget things. So again, these are some of the challenges at this stage of, and then you got Uranus square Uranus. Now this can be really a stirring time. This aspect can be very difficult to deal with because it's kind of a breakout. Now it's a very strong sense of breakout. You want liberation, a certain kind of freedom, but now you're starting to review in a very deep way, what is my capacity to make that breakout? Okay. Now, this is not the same breakout we had at 42. It's a little different, okay? Because most people know at 63, you're not the same as 42. A little difference, right? Biologically, emotionally, we don't have the stamina. And sometimes it's more like what I call that saying, been there, done that, and got the T-shirt. Okay? A lot of things you just... There's a hollowness to a lot of things in life. So you start going deeper, looking, where's the meaning? Right? Where's the wisdom? Where's the meaning to life? So it's a very heroic, as Joseph Campbell used to call it, the hero's journey. It's truly the hero's journey. It is the later stage life to really go deep into looking at our own vulnerabilities as a human being. Okay. And it comes up with the Saturn square Saturn at 66 to 67. I'm right in the middle of that one. And I can tell you it's not easy, but it's very meaningful. Saturn is really a planet of meaning. It really does give us a lot of a deep sense of meaning. And then you start looking at, if you're in a spiritual discipline, you start looking at a sense of letting go of your personal self, which again is not an easy thing, but a very powerful thing. So the 70-75-year cycle, if lived consciously, you focus on your dharma more, perspective change and spiritual, becoming more spiritual and less human, that's one of the possibilities. But again, many people at this age, if you're preoccupied on just the work of the body and just the personality, are you going to resist aging? High percentage of people at this stage are resisting aging, aren't they? Very hard, because they get into the hard aspect of it. So really, the key is you have to work consciously towards letting go of a lot of expectations that we had and some of the things that we didn't feel were successes. But potentially, you can release the grip of the ego fixation at this stage. That's another sub-influence there, the Saturn opposition Saturn. So at 72 to 73 is a very powerful releasing mechanism. Next stage. I don't think anybody's in this stage. I don't see anybody here. Anybody here in this stage, 77 to 84? If you are, you're magnificent shape. This stage, Dean Rudyard talked a lot about this stage as being the stage of the realization of the Urantian man. because this is the stage where the moon returns again from 82 to 83, and you go into a deep kind of relationship with your inner relationship, as what Gene Hewson calls the beloved. Seeking, embracing, in touch with the beloved, the inner beloved, because it's a culmination of the goddess energy, okay? It's the deep feeling. That's what the deep goddess is, the deep feminine, is you can get into that deep sense of the beloved. And then moving into the magnetic connection of when Uranus returns to itself around 84, it's a freedom from the ego fixation potentially. And Dane Rudyard talked a lot about this as the cycle of the Urantian person, okay? So that's something to look forward to from a spiritual standpoint, but it's not going to be like a little roller coaster, is it? Does it sound like we're going to just kind of ride a little roller coaster and get there? I don't think so. See, so hopefully this conversation will help you understand there's ways, signposts, as Eckhart Tolle calls them, little signposts, right? Little ways to look at where we've been and where we still have to go and start adjusting some of those attitudes, right? On these signposts, as these rites of passage can be our signposts, can help us find our way in our journey towards self-transcendence, as Maslow calls it. And as Sagiology calls it as well, in sense of self-transformation, transpersonal issues, it's really a harvest time. So I would invite people to consider that element. So what are we looking at here? Discover the aging process to liberation. Now what's liberation? Liberation, what a nice idea. Liberation from what? To what? To our divine home, to our true essence. See, if we work this process, looking at these signposts and look over, change our perspective, do a deep life review towards meaning and a lot of forgiveness. Some of the things that people recognize on their deathbed. Some of you heard that term, deathbed questions. These are the common questions that people are known to ask on their deathbed. Have I been loved? Have I loved? Have I lived my life or someone else's? Have I made a positive impact and contribution to the world? These are the most common three questions asked of themselves on their deathbed. So I'd invite you all to try to go in here and look at some of the witnessing of the rising and falling patterns of challenges and successes. Try to find a way where you can get some distance from that story that we've had and not be so over-focused on our personal story, but more in our larger story of liberation. What's called in the Yoga Sutras, Klavaya, freedom, liberation.
There was a point there where I'm identifying with my parents, okay, because what about if you, you missed the boat, you know? That they lived through the age of 84. And,
right.
But, they didn't grasp, you know? Right. I guess that deathbed question there, you know?
Right.
Living for others. I think that's what they do.
Yeah.
So, I mean, I'm just saying, how would that make them feel, you know?
Well, it depends on the individual, of course, you know. I mean, my mother asked me that question the day before she died. Kind of, some of you remember that movie, Alfie? Remember? What'd they say? What's it all about? Right. That's what she said to me. She says, what's it all about? And at that time, I hadn't really studied this. I kind of was doing some hospice work, but I said, Mom, have you been loved and have you loved? I said, that's one of the things you might consider. She said, yeah. I said, well, how about live? You've loved, been loved, and then let go. And she said, I can do that. The next day she died. So she must have let herself go because she cut it a lot sooner. They thought she was going to live a lot longer and be in a lot more suffering, but somehow it didn't work. Didn't happen that way. So to answer your question, it can be a very powerful time. In fact, that's one of the purposes, and I appreciate you asking this question. As I said early on, remember, die before you die. The bonus to that is that you get a deep reconciliation with yourself. See, that's the key. To do this work, the courage it takes to do this work now, instead of waiting, you're in a hospital bed and you're sick with all these things in you or whatever, or you go out like that and you never got that reconciliation. There is some beauty, but it takes a lot of courage to face that. It's not going to happen easy, you know. So I appreciate you asking that question. Yeah. Yeah. Thank you.
We have a question from someone through the internet. What can one expect when transiting Pluto in Capricorn conjuncts the natal ascendant?
Well, again, I don't take just one aspect. One thing I've learned, and I don't consider myself like a master astrologer. I'm more of a psychologist that's influenced by astrology. But the one thing I would say to you about just one aspect, taking it by itself, it's usually much more involved. Because you have to look like, where is the Pluto aspected at birth, first of all, okay? To answer this question, try to give him a hint, but I can't really give you the answer, okay? But usually what it means, there's going to be a lot of transformation challenges with the body, because the ascendant is the body, okay? So it's the first house. So be aware that you're going to have to get onto it, take better care of yourself and get ready, prepared. So that would be the one thing around that aspect. It's a very challenging aspect, but you probably need to get ready, take better care of yourself. I'm finding that a lot of the Pluto aspects, which is transmutation, potential resurrection of Pluto, is that usually we're scared of, we've got a lot of fear first that comes up around Plutonian aspects, I found. Because they're real slow moving, and we don't know that much about Pluto historically. Not as, you know, because it was only discovered in 1930, so they really weren't tracking it. So really, it's like 200 years less than Neptune and Uranus. And some people even question, now, there's a big question out there, right, whether it's even a planet or a planetoid. So we've been tracking it for a long time. But to answer your question, I think that's the key. They have to look at their natal chart, where the Pluto is natally, and what's on their ascendant natally. Because that's what's going to get whacked.